If you want to turn into your Bible, it's 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll be there in just a moment. And I just want to share with you something that's been going on in my life for 40 years. And if you didn't realize it, we have an enemy who is bent on telling you and giving you and filling you with lies. And unfortunately, we as believers fall on those lies and accept them as truth and become trapped and become ineffective for Christ. Because why would we be effective for Christ if we ourselves are not effective? And how can we be effective and tell people about Christ when we are unsure about ourselves? And this morning we're going to talk about the lies of Satan. And I was trying to think of a title, because I remember my uncle, several of you know Pastor Crandall, and I call him Uncle Pastor, and I'm the only one allowed to call him that, so you can't call him that. That's my special phrase to him, Uncle Pastor. And he always had these flamboyant titles. And I thought, I need something that will just engage our thinking, that will all of a sudden think, you know what? I was just thinking about this message, and it popped in because of the title. So I was listening, of course, to my Uncle David on a Facebook page, and he got talking about an animal. And I thought, wow, this is an awesome, awesome title. So Philip, go ahead. Our title this morning is going, The Locust That Destroys Your Mind. The locust that destroys your mind. You know, locusts are like grasshopper, because people go, what is a locust? Well, locusts are like grasshoppers that devastate and destroy crops and environments. They swarm and attack whatever they can eat. Just like the locust, Satan and his demons wreak havoc with our minds and bring fear and intimidation to our lives. With his lies and deceptions, it brings negative thinking, which makes you feel blue about the world, about yourself, and about the future. It contributes to low self-worth, and it makes you feel you're ineffective in the world. And if Satan can plant a lie into your mind, if we dwell upon it, it becomes implanted and starts taking root. And after a bit, a lie turns into an irritation, and then an anger, then bitterness, and then wrath. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 tells us, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy that the Holy Spirit says that there will be a time when believers will listen to deceptions and lies from spirits and demons. Thousands of Christians in our world are being tossed to and fro by the lies of Satan and have been in bondage for years. And they are looking for peace from this unrelentless enemy. So let us look further into God's word this morning and see what it has to tell us about these lies and what we can do about it. And let us pray and ask God to give us revelation, because there's people in here today that have been struggling with their minds for years. So let us pray and ask God for his direction this morning.
Father God, we are coming to you today. I have been in bondage for years because of these lies that I allowed to play in the playground of my mind. And Lord, as I've read books and studied things, Lord, I have noticed that there are thousands of my brothers and sisters in Christ who feel defeated, who feel helpless and hopeless, and even some of them have gotten to the point where they have committed suicide because they feel no other way out, because they listen to the lies of the world and the prince of the power of the air. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, of the struggles that we've had this morning already, this morning at the Crandall family, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that the words will be able to come out. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will open the hearts and the minds of the people and have them see. Let them hear the words, Father, of your word. Because basically this message is just going over your word. And your word has power. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this morning, as we look at these passages, that you will remove any satanic activity that is here, that you'll take your angels and move them out, and that your Holy Spirit will be able to reveal to us and guide and direct us this morning. We pray this in your Son's precious name and blood. Amen. We'll be going through the verses quite fast, so don't worry if you don't get them. I will send them to Alicia to share with you, because I don't want you to be focused on trying to write down the verses as much as I want you to hear what God has to say, because they are important words. John 8:44 tells us that Satan is a liar. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." We have an enemy that does not tell the truth, ever. He'll use partial truths to get you to believe him, and let our minds do the rest. Well, what are some of the lies of Satan? This is not an exhaustive list, of course, but some things that are brought to my attention and reading some of the materials that I have been reading. But see if some of these lies are lies that you have listened to in your life. You are of no worth. No one loves you. You are a failure. God is holding back from you. God does not love you. God won't and will not forgive you. The more wealth you have, the happier you are. If you are unhappy, it's your parents' fault. If you are unhappy, it's your spouse's fault. If you are unhappy, it's the government's fault. If you are unhappy, it's society's fault. If you are unhappy, it's God's fault. It's okay to live any way you want to in your life. You don't need to attend church. It's okay if you don't read the Bible. God understands. What you watch, read, or do for entertainment doesn't have any effect on your spiritual life. If God cared for you, he would not allow you to suffer. God wants all believers to be wealthy. Life would be simpler if I was dead.
And then if that's not enough, Satan starts to lie to you about how you were created. I wonder if you would relate. He made me too tall. He made me too short. He made my nose too big. He made my nose too short. He made my head too big. He made my ears too big. He made me the wrong gender. He made my hips too big, and he made my butt too big. Please, no one say amen. There was a lady who had for years struggled with deep depression and resentment. She never sought counseling until she unsuccessfully tried to commit suicide. Minutes before attempting suicide, she wrote this prayer. And see if some of these things ring true for you. Dear God, where are you? How can you watch and not help me? I hurt so bad, and you don't even care. If you cared, you'd make it stop or let me die. I love you, but you seem so far away. I can't hear you or feel you, but I'm supposed to believe that you're here. Lord, I feel them and hear them. They are here. I know you're real, God, but they are more real to me right now. Please make someone believe me. Lord, why don't you make it stop? Please, Lord, please, if you love me, let me die. Signed, a lost sheep. Let me bring you some truth this morning. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Brothers and sisters, know this. Satan does not love you, and he will lie to you always. God, on the other hand, loves you and will never, 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 to infinity and beyond, lie to you. The lady identified as the lost sheep was able to get free from her bondage, and 4 years later, she was led by the Spirit to write this response to her desperate letter. My dear lost sheep, you ask me where I am. My child, I am with you, and I always will be. You are weak, but in me, you are strong. I love you so much that I can't let you die. I am so close that I feel everything you feel. I know what you are going through, for I am going through it with you. But I have set you free, and you must stand firm. You do not need to die physically for my enemies to be gone, but be crucified with me, and I will live in you, and you shall live with me. I will direct you in paths of righteousness. My child, I love you and will never forsake you, for you are truly mine. Love, God. What a powerful statement. What a powerful change, because she realized of the lies of Satan. Something we need to understand is that Satan is in control of this world. 1 John 5:19 tells us, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or power of the wicked one. Folks, let me bring you truth. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you, get this, is greater than he who is in the world. Even though Satan's wickedness is all over this planet, we who are in Christ are under his protection and are overcomers. Brothers and sisters, Christ has raised you up from the death of sin to the life of righteousness and has freed you from your obnoxiousness to eternal death and has given you a right to eternal life, which means, get this, which means you are free from Satan's grip. Hallelujah! You are free! He has won the victory. You don't have to win victories because he has given you the power. He has given you all authority in Christ Jesus. Satan also is a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Pastor preached on this last week, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And back in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, 4 through 5, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, or has God really said that? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God's lying to you, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So many times, Satan and his demons speak half-truths and captures our minds to think that God is holding back things from us or that he is unfair. Think of this truth. 1 John 1:5 through 7. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let this truth sink into your mind. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and have been brought from darkness unto light. Praise God. Thank him for what he has done for you and what he is doing in you and through you. Our God is worthy. Not only does he lie and he deceives, he is a destroyer. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Don't mistake this, brothers and sisters. Satan wants you dead. You are on the wanted poster But it doesn't say dead or alive. It says dead. He wants to destroy you. Why? Because you will bring hope to people that are lost and are listening to his lies and are lost and going to hell. And if you stand up and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and they see your confidence, they see your joy, Satan's going to lose another. So his best tricks is to lie to you and have you fall into his trap. Here's some truth. 1 John 3, 8b. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 tells us also about the blood of Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us and given us power. Brothers, sisters, Jesus has given us the victory by destroying the works of Satan and adopting us as his own. So when Satan says you are not worthy, you grab your scriptures and you tell him you are the child of the King who has set you free. Leave me alone. Claim and proclaim his promises. What further insights can we glean from the scriptures today? 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And get this last verse. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Why? Because I understand who I have on my corner. I have Jesus Christ, who was lived, died, buried, and rose again for you to give you what you need. John is giving us an eyewitness account that Jesus had human flesh, for they touched him. He is proclaiming to you today who Jesus is, and that it should bring you great joy. John, however, proclaims we can have fellowship with our Savior. It is not a religion, it is a relationship. Others have religion. We have a relationship. We have a Father who loves and cares for us amazingly. And what Satan wants to do is come in between you and your Father and wreak havoc and tell you he's not enough. He doesn't care. He doesn't love. Hopefully with the scriptures today, you'll be able to use these to help you in this fight. Understand that Jesus didn't save us and leave us alone to defend ourselves. 1 John chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Acts 16:14, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. It's amazing to me when people have told me that they don't like to read and that God understands, so he won't hold them accountable for not reading his word, though he's commanded to do that. There's others that say, yeah, I can't understand. I'm just not good in English. The only reason my English teacher passed me and got me out because she didn't want to deal with me after 4 years. So I can't read very well, and I can't understand very well. Folks, remember, it is not what you know, it's what he knows. And according to this scripture passage, he can give you the understanding to comprehend. He gives you that ability. He gives you that power to understand. That's why we must ask him to open our minds to his word. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. We are also told in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and guide us. Our loving Savior did not leave us helpless to fight against our enemies. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or 10, it should be chapter 10, not verse 5. I found that late last night. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. This is Greg Friars and my favorite passage, because it helps us to cast down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and gives you the ability to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul believed that the weapons of his warfare were mighty enough to cast down the strongest of strongholds, in which men shut themselves up against the humbling gospel of salvation by the mercy of God. If you need further proof that God hasn't left you alone, look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, and several of you know these passages well. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Brothers and sisters,
there is no doubt that we have a loving and caring Savior because he has provided us with everything we need to protect ourselves. And I find it very interesting in this last verse that one of the armors is the helmet to protect our head. My question, have you been wearing it? Have you been wearing this helmet to protect your head? I want to share with you a personal testimony. I was saved at the age of 8. And the way that it normally goes, congratulations, you accepted Christ. Here's the book of John. Have a good life. But our command is not only to lead them to Christ, but to disciple them. That's why the Great Commission tells us to make disciples. And that's why our church is working on discipleship, because it's important. Molly sent me a text the other day. Her little six-month-old, I believe, 6 months, Riley, is standing up. And I said, oh, dear girl, you be in trouble. 6 months, and she's standing up by pulling herself up. Now, Molly would not be wise and say, oh, that's wonderful, Riley. Here's the car keys. You can go ahead and drive. It'll be okay. God doesn't want a baby Christian to wallow in the mud by themselves. That's why we have the church body, to build them up and strengthen them up and teach them so that they will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that's what has happened through our church age. Individuals have decided, well, we're only going to preach the gospel, and that's it. We're not going to disciple. We're not going to do anything else. That's someone else's job. It's our job. And when we lead someone to Christ, we need to disciple them and strengthen them up and prepare them for battle. Because Satan will sift them like wheat, and he will destroy them. So as I was growing up through the years of my life, I continued to struggle in my Christian walk, and this one lie continued to permeate my thinking. If you act like this, there's no way that you are saved. So at the age of 16, after the third time of asking Christ into my heart and my life, I started seeking and asking for help. And unfortunately, there were some pastors and men that I looked up to. A couple of them gave this answer: just keep praying that prayer until it sticks. That's not what Scripture tells us. So I struggled, went to Bible college, struggled. Came here to University Heights when it was called University Heights, struggled. Became the teen leader and struggled. Having this difficulty,
How can Christ call you his child if you sin like that? You've been sinning like this for years. God cannot save someone like you. And finally, broken and searching, we had taken the teens for 2 years in a row to a place in Colorado called the Wilds. And on the second year they were there, there were men that I had met the year before, youth leaders and pastors. And I asked them, I said, guys, do you have a moment? Because here I was exposing myself, and who else? Who would think? And you're a teen leader and you're having this struggle? What's your pastor's name? We're going to have to call him. The fear and the intimidation and wanting to say something. The problem is that when we tell others that we are struggling with our thoughts and our minds and some of the things that we think about, people are going to say, call the loony bin. He's lost it. She's lost it. Call someone. Get them out. Or the other answer is, the pious guy. Well, if you only came to my Sunday school class every Sunday, you wouldn't have that problem. So don't come back until you're ready. We're afraid. Satan uses fear and intimidation to lie. So I was intimidated. What will these men think of me? But the opposite was true. These men lovingly sat down with me, all of them, and they shared with me this. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And guys, if you don't get any of the passages, get this. This set me free. 1 John 5, and this is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And as they lovingly and patiently continue to let me know, it is not how I feel, is what God says, and do I believe it? And here is the struggle that we have. It is not Pastor Doug. It is not Pastor Jonathan. It is not our Sunday school teachers or any of our teachers that can set you free. What will set you free is what God says. And do you believe it? And if you believe it, and you claim and proclaim the promises, I tell you what, Satan will not be able to handle it. After 2 months of struggling after the camp experience, I kept on using this passage. I memorized it. I had it in my arsenal of tools. Pastor likes to talk about our arsenals. Get the arsenals. And every time Satan hit me with the lie that I was not saved, I hit him back with the truth. And after 2 months, it ceased. He found other things to attack me on, but that has never
come up again. Folks, we have a God who is mighty. We have a God who is able. We have a God who loves you. And for some odd reason, he has chosen you and me as his children. And he says, hey, what I want from you is obedience. What I want you to do is to go into every place, your workforce, your grocery store, your bus stop, your restaurant, your bowling alleys, your Dave and Buster's, and I want you to proclaim that Jesus Christ is King. And he has a plan for your life. Question comes, do you believe what God says or not? Bow your heads with me. Some of you today are an individual or individuals who have never accepted this free gift of salvation. Jesus came for you. He came and he died and he bled and he gave up his life for you so that you could have eternal life. Today, will you bow the knee to Jesus Christ? Will you today come forward and accept him as your personal Savior? Will you come forward today and allow someone to share with you the Word of God to be able to become a child of God? Secondly, to those of my brothers and sisters here that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, some of you may have been struggling with these lies for years. And you have been ineffective for the Savior. Matter of fact, fear and intimidation is your life. And sometimes you think in your mind, Lord, it's better for me to die. Where are you? Where have you been? I need you. It is time for you, child of God, to stop listening to the lies of Satan and start listening to the word of truth. And the Bible tells us that the truth will set you free. And then you can do your happy dance because you're free. Will you come forward today and bow your knee and have someone pray with you and give your thought life over to the only one who can do something with it? That's Jesus Christ. Father, I am unworthy. I probably have not said the right things, but the great thing is you have the power to move in the hearts of the individuals in this auditorium. Lord, I've struggled with lies even recently that could have devastated me. But I took out the arsenal of my tool belt and looked in your word, and you gave me hope. You gave me strength, and you helped me see the lie. Lord, I'm afraid that there are believers here today, Father, that have been struggling for a long, long time. Lord, have them to come down so that you can set them free. that they would confess with their mouth the things that have so taken them by power, and they don't feel like they could do anything else. But Lord, once you take over, and they confess, and you take over, and you forgive them, Father, what a marvelous life they can have. Lord, we'll give this time to you in your Son's precious name and blood. Amen.
As Asa was speaking there, I couldn't help but think of a song that same writer that the song that Amy and I just sang, Zach Williams. How many of y'all like the Zach Williams band? Great band. They've got another song called Fear is a Liar. So I just had to Google the lyrics because I always sing the wrong lyrics. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob you of your rest, steal your happiness. When he told you you're troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Those are powerful words. And what we know about fear is that fear is not from the Lord. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. That's a tool of the devil. Straight up. There's no way to sugarcoat that. That fear is straight from him. And no matter what the lie is that you've been believing, big or small, whatever is insurmountable in your life right now, it's not insurmountable without Christ. You can come right to the foot of that cross. Just as Asa said, we talked about this recently, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship. And it's wonderful to have a relationship with the one who saved you and redeemed you. He wants nothing but the best for you.